Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. God says in Isaiah 32, verse 18, "My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." Isn't that beautiful? I've given that scripture to several people who have been looking for homes. And then Darren gave it to me when we were looking for a home to buy because we had rented for so many years. And this is the scripture that he used, and he gave it to me. He said, "Barbara, God is going to give us a peaceful dwelling place, a secure home, and an undisturbed place of rest." And we live just a block from one of the busiest streets in Denver, and yet it is so peaceful, and I find rest there. So I know that verse works. It's in operation in your life. If you're looking for a home or someplace that you can call your own cozy dwelling place, just take Isaiah 32:18. Say it several times a day. That's the key. When you speak it out of your mouth, for some reason, the words that you hear from your ears, they make an impact on your memory. They really do. And so I recommend that to you. Isaiah 32, verse 18. Oh, I've used it. It works. It works. "You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being." And you can go to freedomstreet.org and click on resources, and radio shows are under there. I don't know if the word power is on, I got to go look again because I get confused. But we also have a Word Power for Every Hour Bible guide through the Bible chronologically. And some of you have been reading with me. I'm so blessed by what you're doing, because it does take a lot of effort. It does. Our flesh just screams, "I got too much to do. I'm too busy. I can't take time for that." And like in Job, "I don't have time for Job. That was thousands of years ago. Why are you wanting us to read through that?" We are discovering, as I'm going to talk today, a little bit about God's character. We're learning about God's character. What is he made of? He knows us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows every little cell in our bodies, but we don't know him. And Paul, he was so eloquent in saying that "I may know you, God, in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering," in Philippians 3:10. So we know that God is just, his character, the way he loves us, is past finding out. Now, you may enjoy a wonderful love here on this earth in a human being, but my friend, you've never known the love that God has for you until you accept him and receive him and ask him in. Just ask him in. It says in Revelation 3:20, he's knocking at the door. Just ask him in. Hello. Yes. When someone rings the doorbell or knocks on your door, do you just stand there and ignore it? No, we go to the door. Who is it? Or we open the door to whoever it is if we know them. Yes, if you know them, open the door. If you don't know them, don't open the door. Oh, thank you, Father. And you are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. Praise the Lord. Last night I watched the one of the best football games I have watched in a long time. It was the national championships between the University of Miami and the newcomer, University of Indiana. They hadn't been much of a football team at all, but they'd never been in the finals, in the college finals. And I had gotten interested in Indiana when Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman Trophy over top football candidates in the United States. And that was just a few months ago. and he just had an outstanding record. Well, you'll remember Tim Tebow won the Heisman in 2007 with a great record. I think he passed over 3,300 yards in his sophomore year. He was a sophomore. Only two other Heisman Trophy winners have been sophomores in all of the history of the Heisman Trophy. So, God bless you, Tim Tebow, whatever you are doing, and I know what you're doing is exciting for the Lord. So here was Fernando Mendoza, who won the Heisman Trophy, and he was the quarterback. Now, I know some of you may not be interested in this, but this is a Cinderella story. believe it. And this team, this Indiana team, now you know Indiana for basketball, Hoosiers, that kind of thing. But this team is football, and they came into victory from obscurity. And he chose guys, Kurt Cignetti. He is the coach now of this year. They had 16 victories and no losses. He chose guys that were rejected by other schools. I mean, can you imagine? They usually look for the best of the best of the best of the best. And here, this man came in. Indiana had gone through 30 head coaches. 30. And so they hired Kurt Cignetti to coach the Hoosiers. And he brought the team. The year before he came, the team was 3 wins and 9 losses. And then this year, he brought them to 15-0. And Fernando had tried out for the Miami Hurricanes, and they had rejected him. Yeah, Miami, who they played Monday night. And so Cignetti took him. It's like if you watch Blindside and you see all these schools coming and inviting this big, tough guy. It was so precious to all their schools, and they've got all these benefits. Well, Cignetti took him, and wow, what a year for the Indiana Hoosiers. Last night, the very last thing, he went, Hoosiers, and the whole crowd just erupted. Congratulations to a great team of dedicated players. If you get a chance to view the game, I recommend it. They came out of nowhere and now are the national champions. I feel like I'm talking about David fighting Goliath one more time. And it really helped me to take some time to watch something that was beneficial and fun and exciting instead of watching hateful and terrible people tearing down our country. So I just want to say to you, we live in the greatest country in the world, folks. And this rioting and all this going on in the Midwest or middle United States is going to come to naught, in just a little while. Also, I want to mention Victor Marx, who is running for governor for Colorado. He and his wife, Eileen, live in Colorado Springs. And they've weathered many storms, going into dangerous places to rescue orphans and children left like garbage. And he's a proven leader, devoted husband, father of 5 children, and a community servant who has dedicated his life to protecting families and strengthening communities, from overcoming personal adversity to founding organizations that bring hope and healing. Victor's journey reflects the resilience and the grit that define Colorado. With decades of experience working on the front lines, supporting veterans, rescuing the vulnerable, and building programs that change lives, Victor understands the challenges hard-working Coloradoans face. And you can say Coloradans, or you can say Coloradoans. But I was raised with Coloradoans, so I'm going to continue to say Coloradoans. His leadership has always been guided by integrity, accountability, and an unwavering belief that government should serve the people, not special interests. And as a candidate for governor, Victor Marx is committed to restoring trust in public office, defending Colorado values. And see, the minority don't know the Colorado values of the underground, the current, the undercurrent, the grassroots of this state. And so I agree with that, defending Colorado values and building a future where families can thrive. His vision is simple: a safer, stronger, and more united Colorado, where opportunity, freedom, and community come first. And I heard him say on TBN with Matt and Lori Crouch that the first thing he's going to do is says, consecrate the state of Colorado on the day he's inaugurated. Now, let people around you know about this exemplary conservative candidate for governor. God is raising up godly people in these last days. Let's take advantage of it. Oh, praise his name. Praise his name forever. Our memory verse for this week is 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. I was reading today in Job 34, verse 21, this morning, and that very verse, Job 34, 21, just kind of echoes 2 Chronicles 16:9. For God's eyes are upon the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. God knows where you're going. He knows every moment of your day. He knows every gesture that you take. He's God. Okay? So he knows. His eyes are open to your ways, what you're doing. He's interested in what you're doing. Psalm 34 verse 15 tells us to depart from evil and do good, to seek, inquire for, and crave peace, and pursue or go after it. And the eyes of the Lord are on the uncompromisingly righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Yes, he's open to your requests, friend. Just verbalize that a little bit. Get your mouth going and say what you desire or where you want to go or what you want to do. God is listening to you. Oh, he's wanting to do the very best for you as you ask, as the desire is in your heart to communicate with him. Proverbs 5 verse 21 says, God is watching over all the ways of man, and everywhere he turns are under the scrutiny of God's watchful care. He's watching. Oh, some of you may say, oh no, I got to go hide in the closet. No, he sees you there. Remember when Jesus went through the walls after he was resurrected? Yep, that's the kind of body we're going to have. Oh, I don't know if you're like me as far as curious goes, but for years I've been hearing words like justice and mercy, even redemption. And I just haven't had good definition of those words or words like them until I come into a wonderful Bible teacher who gives a simpler definition of those words. I looked up justice in Webster's dictionary, Noah Webster. This precious man worked most of his life. If you've got a Webster's original dictionary, it is about 8 inches wide in depth. Yeah. 8 inches. I have to lift it up off the shelf with both my hands. It's so heavy. And he worked on this all of his life. And it's so good because he's got scripture in the dictionary. And here's what I found about justice. Justice is giving to everyone what's due. That's number one. Number two, justice is equal distribution of what is right. He's an equitable God. That means he doesn't look for somebody who's really a good guy over here so he can pour his blessings on him. Uh-uh. God reigns on the just and the unjust. His love is unconditional, everlasting, and never apart from someone who is really being crushed. And reach out, and God will bless you so mightily, so completely with his care. So just number one is giving to everyone what's due. Whoa. And number two, equal distribution of what is right. And number three, to minister what is right. So God administers what is right. When he sees what is going on with someone, he wants to bless him. He wants to give him a reward, a special treat. Okay? So some of you have gone through a lifetime of searching and wondering what in the world was going on. And our Father has, in his gentleness, tried to teach you what is right. See, God is right. Everything about God is right. That's why I've leaned on him since the time I was 7 years old. I knew that God was the one who was right. And people, if they spoke against him, they were wrong. See, that's a beautiful little gift of discernment that Holy Spirit gave me when I was a little girl. And yet I knew what was right and I knew what was wrong. And I know most of you, if you do something wrong, you're going to feel it. I mean, depths and also emotionally. Oh, no, why did I do that? So we know that our Father God is right. And what does the world do about justice? Oh, they protest, they hold demonstrations, and they have conspiracy theories and outlandish stories. And you know what? The public is so gullible, they eat it up. They eat it up, yeah. But God, Oh, no. Now, I found an article, because I remember this. I was a junior in college. I remember when this article came out, and this cover came out, that there is no God. Do you remember? Well, most of you are too young, but 60 years ago we remember that there was an article, and on April the 8th, 1966, the cover story for Time magazine was "Is God Dead?" And the left was already at work with books like Saul Alinsky and Karl Marx, The Communist Manifesto, which was the Bible of the left. Now, in 1966, that article looked in greater depth at the problems facing modern theologians in making God relevant to an increasingly secular society. Modern science seemed to have had eliminated the need for religion to explain the natural world, and God took up less and less space in people's daily lives. The ideas of various scholars were brought in, including the application of contemporary philosophy to the field of theology and a more personal, individual approach to religion. Do you know now why God raised up people like Oral Roberts and John G. Lake and C.S. Lewis? During this time when people were getting more secular and forgetting about God, God was raising up people to bring people to honest conclusions and right. Yes, the right. So the issue drew heavy criticism, both from the broader public and from clergymen. Most of the criticism was directed at the provocative magazine cover rather than the content of the article. The cover, all black with the words, "Is God Dead?" in large red text, marked the first time in the magazine's history that text with no accompanying image was used. In 2008, the Los Angeles Times named "Is God Dead?" issue among 12 magazine covers that shook the world. I remember that. I really do. And I'm so sad for that. But I think it gave us a jolt and a shock as to who do you serve? As for me in my house, okay, who do you serve? And Saul Alinsky, who was really big during that time, the late 60s, oh, he was talked about all over the place. He was a Jewish. Can you imagine all these Jewish people? George Soros is German Jewish. And all these people that have turned against God. I mean, why is that? You know that. The enemy. It's the enemy. It's the devil. So he was a writer, a Jewish writer of several books, about community organizing. Guess where? In Chicago. Selected by the devil himself, he dedicated his last book to the devil. His Bible was Marx's book, The Communist Manifesto. He even got the Catholic bishop in Chicago to go in with his ideas of helping the underprivileged. And the Catholic Church gave millions of dollars into his coffers. He hoodwinked people, young people, like Hillary Clinton. She's my age. Like Hillary Clinton, who were in class, and he was teaching there. And guess who else? Barack Obama, who was a community leader in Chicago. Woohoo! That should have been a trigger right there. And are you beginning to get the drift that the left is doing, what they are doing? Some of these words you hear out of the mouths of left politicians is a word like community, and calling their opponents Nazis. And they throw in the word racist around all the time when they don't know what else to say. When Vice President Kamala Harris was campaigning for the presidency, she faced a wave of mockery after her latest word salad, repeating the phrase, "the children of the community." Do you remember some of her word salad? Wow, I'm so grateful to God that we have a president who is for the people. Harris spoke at the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute's 47th Annual Leadership Conference in Washington, D.C. while she was campaigning, providing a few specific details about the policies she's running on for president. However, at one point, Harris spoke about providing families with the necessary resources so that the parents, she was in it for the government ruling over the children, the parents can raise their children well, declaring, "I grew up understanding the children of the community are the children of the community, and we should all have a vested interest in ensuring that children can grow up with the resources that they need to achieve their God-given potential." you won't hear her talking about God. You won't, unless somebody has taught her, has given her lines to say. And so they just interject a few little lines about their God, and they think the people, well, there are a lot of gullible people out there. To achieve their God-given potential, maybe people think that she's a good woman, that she really deserved to be president. But I could go on for hours, but I want to give our attention to Romans 5 right now. Just have a little bit of time left, and I just want to talk a little bit about God. Oh, we know that God's judgment, and judgment is not justice, although it is contained in the definition of justice. Judgment falls upon those who practice vain and worldly things. God is always right, because he has all the facts. And this is from the Message translation. Verse 3 of Romans 5. And no matter who you think you are, when you judge others who do these things and then do the same things yourself, what makes you think that you will escape God's judgment? Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness, his sweetness, make you take him for granted, ignore him, and even despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance? See, his kindness towards you is to melt your heart. And some of you have stubborn hearts. You have hard hearts. God knows that. And it's going to take a little time and a lot of prayer for that heart to melt. But it will, under God's tutelage to Holy Spirit. I believe that with all my heart. And it will lead you into repentance, my friend. But because of your calloused heart and refusal to change direction, you are piling up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed. And hopefully, prayerfully, you're going to go over on God's side before that time comes. I don't want his wrath and his anger to be on you. No, because, wow, God is mighty and powerful. Verse 6 of Romans 5 says, for he will give to each one in return for what he has done. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and he covers you with his precious blood, it's no longer what you have done or not done. It's no longer your sins. They're covered under the blood. I hope you understand this revelation, that what you have done in the past when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is gone, is deleted off the keyboard. Absolutely. And he will teach each one of you the truth and love and kindness and goodness and joy and peace. That's justice, folks. Here's God's justice in Job. Job 38, verse 4 says, here is God speaking to Job out of a whirlwind. That would get your attention. And to all of us, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare to me if you have or no understanding. Who determined the measurements of the earth, if you know? Or who stretched the measuring line upon it? Upon what were the foundations of it fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Oh, we know who the cornerstone is, don't we? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Oh, wow. The stars are cooperating in praising God and sending precious, precious echoes to our earth. The stars, yes, the energy that they have, are coming to the earth full of power and optimism and wonderful goodness. So God determines the shores. He says, who will shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth and issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds the garment of it and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. This is when it was birthed. The sea was birthed, just as a baby is in a womb. And I marked for myself my appointed boundary and set bars and doors. You know, why doesn't the ocean come up into Nevada? Why are there all these sharp cliffs that go down deep into the ocean, miles and miles? God set them as bars and doors, where he wanted the boundaries for the land. And he said, thus far shall you come and no farther. That's why he said to the oceans, thus far shall you come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed. I love that. That's our God. He determines the shores and the boundaries. Do you remember during this fearful time of the Left Dynasty how they warned us of the coast falling into the ocean, so you can't build, you shouldn't build there. I mean, you shouldn't have homes there, because one of these days the whole coasts of the East and the West are going to fall into the ocean, killing many people. Well, Kamala Harris just bought an $8 million beach house in Malibu. Yeah, $8 million. Most of us won't ever see that kind of money. They don't want us building near the ocean. But they go about buying up property and doing things that they tell us not to do. I find that very hypocritical. I really do. God goes on to say in Job 38, we've got two more minutes, and then I'll continue this tomorrow. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, or caused the dawn to know its place? Okay, it's time for you to shine, son. So shine, S-U-N. So shine. Isn't that beautiful? And so we know that the light may get hold of the corners of the earth and shake the wickedness of night out of it. And when you see, if you travel at all, you see the horizon and you see that sun coming over all the earth that you're going through. Oh, it's a beautiful sight. A beautiful sight. Tomorrow, Kimberly is supposed to join me, but this is Levi's 20th birthday, her youngest of four children. And so the whole family is there. Even Hannah came from North Dakota. So tomorrow they're going to go and play, oh, these games. Escape room. Yeah, those kind of games. She has reservations for two or three of them tomorrow for the whole gang. So she won't be with me tomorrow, but hopefully Thursday she'll tell us about the celebration for Levi, Judah, Duel. It's going to be a wonderful time. So God bless you. Read a little bit of Job. Those last few chapters, 28 through 40, oh, God, absolutely beautiful. So, read those. They're going to be great. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Our partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.